Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to another episode of Hypecast.
Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, pew. Blah, blah. Blah, blah. The show where we get hyped about stuff and things.
Oh, my God, we're already hyped.
We're so fucking hyped. It was like,
it's so lit. It is lit.
We're 15 seconds in. The hype is out of control.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew.
Everybody, I'm the other co-host, David Bell. And who do we have here?
Hi, I'm Katie Willard, and I just drank a Diet Coke, and I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
Hype. Katie, is this your first Hypecast?
Yeah, sorry, I was taking a giant sip
in the middle of,
Diet of
drinking.
Coke. Yes, this is my first Hypecast.
Wow, welcome.
Really? Well, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, what the fuck's that about?
I don't know.
I don't know. The way we do guests is so random.
I think you're on that list with like the Sorens where it's like, yeah, they're probably busy.
I've been unemployed for the last 3 months, so
oh,
where have you all been?
We'll keep asking you. Yeah, we had this with Soren where we were like, Soren's busy, right? And then randomly emailed him and he's like, no, I'd love to. And it's like, all right. Why did we think he was busy?
I mean, he does have a job and a wife and a child,
yeah,
but also yeah. More, he has 24 hours in a day, just like the rest of us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Thanks.
I guess I could have explained to you more what this show is. We're just going over trailers and movie news and stuff like that in order.
I mean, I figured.
Yeah, you saw the doc. It's easy enough.
I did.
Do you want to, should we get started, Tom?
We absolutely should get started.
Okay. The first thing we have is, I don't think it's accessible online. But there's a new trailer from Christopher Nolan, Tenet.
Yeah, it showed in front of Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw.
Yes.
But yeah, as
took
far as I know.
Took everyone by surprise.
Yeah. I forget why I knew it was going to happen. It might have just been buzz around the Collider office. But yeah, as far as I know, it's not online for like everyone to watch yet.
Right. I saw it because I went to Hobbs and Shaw.
Mm.
It is of... In terms of a hyped up teaser, it is very disappointing. I'm sure I like Christopher Nolan, so I'm sure I'll like the movie. It's just a guy. It's Denzel Washington's son.
John David Washington.
Yeah. And he's super awesome looking. And he walks up to a piece of pane of glass and he touches bullet holes on the glass. And then it says something like, it's time for a new protagonist. And then it shows him like running through a hallway, briefly wearing like a gas mask. Or not even a gas mask, like an oxygen mask.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then it says Tenet. And like the as you can see in like the motion poster, it like twists around in an Inception-y way, which I think is making people be like, is this another Inception?
Yeah, or maybe it's just another quasi-confusing,
yeah,
but nonetheless badass Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah, it could just be the same old nonsense he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Probably.
It would be the first sequel he's ever done that's not, you know, like an adaptation property, like a pre-existing property. It would be the first time he's done a sequel to, like, an original work, if it is a sequel.
What sequels have he done besides The Batman?
That's it.
Oh, okay.
The Batman.
The Batman. The Batman. You know, The Batmans. The assorted, the Batsmen.
I want this to be a sequel to Insomnia for fun, just because it's, like, the last thing anybody would want a sequel for.
Right, yeah.
Fuck it.
I What I remember from Inception is that I was like, yeah, I really like that movie. And then as we've moved farther away from it, I was just like, I didn't understand a goddamn thing that happened in that movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I just really was like, I fundamentally didn't get it and couldn't really tell you what happened in it today. I remember the world folded like origami, and then there was the spinning top, and then someone fell in a bathtub in a chair.
You pretty much nailed it.
That's all. Cool. Those are all the main sequences.
And Ellen Page is there.
Yes, she's there. I think Nolan films, that's what I love about them, what I find fun and dumb about them, is that when you watch them for the first time, you're like really in it. And then the farther you get away from it, you're like, well, that is kind of dumb, isn't it? And that's okay to me, because it's like every time, it's the same. Like, I think of this as the same as like a horror movie is like, you watch The Omen and you get scared and you're like, yeah, but you could probably just push the kid over. But you're not thinking about that right away. Mm-hmm. And so Nolan has that ability of making me think something's really profound that, like, the more I think about it, I'm like, no, that's dumb.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, but the whole point of movies is to go and enjoy the movie while you're in the movie. Yeah. I think we've attributed this whole, like, world of meaning onto, like, dissecting it after the fact, when honestly, like, that's just added bonus. It's just icing on the cake if you can like thoroughly dissect it and find things after it, but really the only purpose of a movie is to watch the movie and then be done with the movie when the movie is over.
Yeah, and I think dissecting it is only fun when it's something crazy. This was something, and I hope I'm not taking his thunder, Abe pointed out to me about the movie Son of the Mask recently.
Yeah, Jamie Kennedy, right?
Yeah, it's that there's a scene of the conception scene, and they show the sperm, and the little sperms are green, which it means that the mask comes green.
Oh, no. It
comes boogies.
So it's that, it's, you know, like the natural progression of thinking about what this one little funny thing in a movie means. I don't know how I got to that from Nolan. My point is that having seen this teaser, it does not match up to like Inception's teaser, which was really like you didn't know what the hell was going on in that teaser because it was so weird.
Right. Yeah, this nobody knew what that was.
I mean, we know that he's a protagonist.
Well, it's time for a new protagonist. It's time for a new one.
Yeah, but he different.
Yeah, I don't know what he means by that.
He knew.
Because isn't every new protagonist a new protagonist?
Yeah, because it's not the same person.
Not the same one before. Does he think every movie has the same person starring in it?
That is what, the only thing about this whole thing that makes me think it might be a sequel is because it's in reference to the old protagonist. And it's like, okay, well, if you made a point to like make that the verbiage.
Right, yeah.
Because otherwise it's just new movie.
Yeah. Who the hell knows? I'm excited to see when there's a trailer that comes out that tells us what this is actually about.
And then we're going to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, ah, oh, neat. It's going to be like dream trains that like you have to, I don't know, you have to race them. It's like a dream train race.
What?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of what Nolan can be doing next.
What are you talking about?
Tom, what do you think this movie is about?
I have dream trains.
No clue. It could literally be about anything.
That's what I'm saying. Dream trains.
That's your pitch. That's everybody, pitch. David Bell's pitch.
Yeah.
Dream trains.
Should we move on to the next trailer?
Yeah, probably.
Honey Boy.
I'm so fucking excited.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Watching Shia play his own dad?
Yeah.
I just, like, I root for him so hard. And I do think that when people who are like kid stars are able to have kind of a emotional reckoning, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like have a moment of clarity and kind of be able to move forward. That's what that seems like it is. It's been like, seems like this whole process for Shia has been to get to this new person, right? This new version of himself where he's not prisoner to the past and like, God, like, I can't even imagine what it's like to be such a tiny and, like, have all of that pressure riding on you. Like, that character in Even Stevens is, like, they put a lot of comedic responsibility on his shoulders, and he became, like, this beacon of, like, not precocious, I guess, but, like, weirdo comic, like, genius child.
Right, and that's, like, his identity.
That's a kind of precociousness. I think that was a correct word.
But like in a moment in his development where like people are telling him this is who you are, and then to mm-hmm. grow into something else and have people mock you and not
right
give you the space to like grow and change.
Right, because imagine we all grew and changed around the age we were watching him do it. And like imagine being in your 20s and having this identity and trying to break free from it, but also you depend, like it's how you get your money.
Right.
I'm sure it's weird. I haven't looked too much into like things in his career controversies, so I don't know if he's done anything completely fucked up or anything like that. But I have that sympathy for all child stars where it's like the kid from Stranger Things who got shit for doing the prank show of pranking people. Like that was a stupid idea.
Right.
But he's like,
he
what,
became
13?
The punching bag for it. And I was like, yeah. No, it's the adults around him that are
right.
the problem.
It's the people that told him that this was a good idea for him to
right.
do.
Right. No one said, oh no, we can't do that and here's why. He's just some stupid kid and we have to watch him all grow up. And I hope that doesn't fuck them up too much, you right. know?
Man, that line, though, of like, if I didn't pay you, you wouldn't be here if I didn't pay you at the very
oh, yeah.
end of the trailer. You're just like, fuck.
Yikes.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, this looks interesting. Like, just to see something written by fucking Shia LaBeouf.
It's about
his
life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the back of that cop car, slurring.
Yeah.
His work. Yeah, I don't know, someone who's in recovery too. It's like we'll talk about it in a million little people. You know, when we get to
that.
Like, oh, this. It's nice when it's done right, or it's nice when it's done from a place of like honesty and
honesty.
Truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honesty is a key word there. Mm-hmm. All right. Should we move on to the next one? I'm excited about the next one.
Yeah. Sure.
That's called The Day Shall Come.
Yeah.
I
don't know quite what to make of this.
Neither do I. I looked up the plot. Is that because the trailer, it's like a little clear.
Shaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about like a cultist in Miami and a CIA agent who basically is trying to look good for her boss by making him out to be a terrorist.
Right.
That's the idea. And like, it's very obvious that like, he's just kind of unhinged, and over time it gets too out of hand and she's trying to like push back.
Yeah,
I like how they say like based off of hundreds of stories. Well, which was great.
I think the whole thing of the CIA orchestrating these events by pitting like terrorists and like extremists or whatever against each other to create a narrative,
right?
You know, of like, oh yeah, we just put him in this situation and then it'll, you know, all of our will look good in front of our bosses, which I'm like, fuck the CIA, Jesus.
It looks fun. It's reminding me of something, and I feel like this is gonna be controversial just because of people who talked about it. I like this as opposed to, I just watched the first episode of Patriot. Has anybody seen that show?
My friend Meg loves it.
Everybody
loves
it.
And I have not seen an episode. And she tried to explain it to me, and I still don't quite understand what it's about.
Well,
I
saw the first. Okay, I've seen the first episode, and I'm not quite sure what it's about.
Cool.
And people I respect love it. But I watched it, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Because it's sort of like a CIA guy on a mission, and he keeps fucking everything up. But the way he's fucking things up are in ways that it's just like, at least for me, I was like, oh, don't do that. That's obviously a mistake. And then it's a mistake.
Right.
And then I have to watch him deal with the obvious mistake. So I don't know. This feels like a version of that, sort of, where it's like kind of a silly. I don't know why we're making sympathetic, silly CIA characters, but this seems to be saying something that's important. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
All right. I guess next one.
Yeah.
I do encourage people to check out this trailer because I think this is the most. No, this is the second most interesting trailer on this.
I hope it doesn't, you know, make. I don't know. It kind of like the trailer kind of borderlines on a screwball comedy, like a farce.
Yeah.
Right.
So I hope it's the message that it seems to be, you know, expounding upon is handled, you know, respectfully.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean,
and responsibly.
It depends on who's making it and how it. Because I think about Sorry to Bother You is a movie that's handling something serious in a hilariously screwball way, and it's so good. Have you seen that?
I have not.
I don't want to say anything. I'm not going
to say it. I know generally what it's about, and I need to see it. I just, working in like the milieu of award season, mm-hmm. in my job, I just get so pounded with like trying to see every goddamn movie, and it's
that's fair.
Damn near impossible.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was one that I did not see. It's on Hulu right now, right?
Is it?
I think it was for a while for free.
Maybe
on
Amazon.
Hulu.
I don't know. I'll have to watch it.
Yeah, if you ever get a second to
just
do that
like
one.
A quick sec to watch an entire feature film.
Mm-hmm. You know, just dip into it.
Speaking of things I'm not probably gonna watch, Haunt is the next
Fuck
trailer.
This fucking thing. Sorry. Wasn't there one with a haunted house at a carnival?
Yeah,
the same premise.
Yeah. It was Hellfest. That was at an amusement park. Big difference, guys. Big difference.
Yeah. It's the writer of Quiet Place, which was an okay movie that I thought was a little like derivative too. Like it was kind of, it wasn't bad, but it was I didn't think that movie was as good as people mm-hmm. made it out to be. And this one just feels like, yeah, it's Hellfest or I don't know. Whatever. I know I'll see it on streaming. Who am I kidding? I watched Escape Room the other day.
Oh. Yeah, you did. It's free on Netflix, bro.
Shit, I paid for it. I rented it.
Oh
you,
no,
you
why?
Stupid
Por
fuck.
Que?
It was
you
fine.
That's dumb bastard.
$4 you will never see again. So, yeah, I guess they've got the tropes of all the spooky stuff, like mm-hmm. stick your arm in this hole mm-hmm. and like a bunch of figures with sheets over them like ghosts, and you know that one of them is an actual
right.
person and they're gonna chase you.
Right.
Spooch ya.
I
like the premise of going to one of those, you know, intense haunted house experience, you know, the ones where they make you sign a waiver and stuff, where they have these super intense scenes that happen in front of you.
Right.
And I like them playing with the idea of like this could be real and you're just
right.
not keying into it.
I think they have to do that in a more clever way. And maybe this does it. Because there's some good imagery in the trailer, I guess, but it reminds me of, what's that movie, Lights Out?
I don't know.
Lights
yeah,
Out.
There is a movie called...
That's what it's called, right?
Called Lights Out, yes. Right.
Well, there's a scene where they go into their basement, and their basement, I think
it's just full of mannequins for no goddamn reason.
And
it's like a suburban home that has a basement loaded with mannequins.
He used to work at a Penny's.
Yeah, exactly. And they did this in the Halloween reboot as well. They're like, isn't this spooky, all these mannequins? It's like, yeah, it is. It also makes no sense. Why are you doing this?
Okay, why the fuck does she have these?
Yeah.
Wait, was Lights Out the one where the guy was blind and they're trying to rob him?
No, that's...
Don't breathe.
Don't breathe.
Lights Out is the one with the ghost that only appears when the lights are off.
Yes, which is, I think, most ghosts.
Yeah.
But...
I don't... Light kind of makes ghosts harder to see.
Yeah, and that I think that's what it was, is that it was just like, oh, how convenient the ghosts... Like, everything is... It's so convenient that everything is really scary in the setting. And this is kind of the same as, like, it's a horror movie, but it takes place in a haunted house. And it's like, uh-huh. Like, what a challenge. What an amazing challenge. Yeah. So, like, it needs to, like, somehow elevate past that. Like, the way the cabin in the woods is, like, it's literally Cabin in the Woods, but then it's so much more than that because it's playing off of the trope to start
meta.
With. Yeah. This doesn't have to go that meta, but I think they have to do something interesting with that premise.
What? I think about the fact that a lot of friends of mine who are, like, from the Midwest or out in the middle of nowhere, they would talk about how at Halloween, like, a random house in the middle of nowhere would do a haunted house, and everyone would just kind of drive out to this house in the middle of fucking nowhere to go to this haunted house in Halloween. And that concept, to me, is far more scary than, like... And it's not even that it has to be that scary of a haunted house, but it's the isolation of being, like, in the middle of a cornfield at someone's house where you didn't sign a waiver and there's no, like, there are no street lights.
Right,
you're just in this random
based
fucking
on a
house.
Craigslist ad.
Yeah, it's like haunted house. And you're like, yeah, rad. And then you die.
Right.
You know?
It's like the murderer that ran that ad is like, well, this was easy.
Yeah, God.
They just came. I didn't even have to put pants on.
Yeah, it was great. I stayed in my Barca Lounger.
This is reminding me, and I can't find the title, and I feel dumb not being able to find the title.
Lay it on
There's a found footage movie about a group of people making a haunted house.
Ooh.
And I remember it being quite good. And I know someone's in the comments say the name of this.
It wasn't Dave Built a Maze, was it?
No, no. It might have been, there's one called Haunted House LLC. I don't think it's that. But it was basically, it was kind of this idea where it's about this event that happened on their opening night of the haunted house, and it is kind of freaky. But most of the movie is these people who find an old house and they're fixing it up to be a haunted house. So most of it is like just in a haunted house, but not...
Yeah, with like hammers and shit and like trying to plan out what they're doing.
And it was a good use of it, because there were those moments where like they think something's there and it's a dummy that we put up or something like that.
Yeah, it's his basement full of mannequins.
Right.
But it's okay, guys. It's just the basement full of spooky stuff.
Because that was a good way of doing it, is the people putting on the haunted house are being haunted, essentially. Everybody Google that.
And watch that instead.
Find the title that I'm not providing. Yeah, and watch that. That I think is good. Not positive. I want to talk about Undone. The next trailer. Did you guys watch this?
I did, yes.
Wait, which one was Undone? I watched all of them like back to back.
This is the one that looks like Waking Life or Scanner Darkly. It's the rotoscoping.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. With...
Odenkirk.
There's people.
Yeah, Odenkirk. And Rosa Salazar, who we will never see her actual true form.
No, they will never allow us to see her actual face. It's always going to be animated onto something.
In some way. Her eyes will be giant.
I'm very excited about this. I think this looks really pretty.
I had a physically hard time watching it. Like, something about the animation for me made it hard for my eyes to track. Like, it made it hard for me to focus. And that's just, like, I can't play video games for a long time without getting a migraine. So, I think I have visual shit, but...
Did you ever see A Scanner Darkly?
No.
You might hate that. There's... It's...
Well, I'll definitely watch it.
It's You're a gonna beautiful hate movie, it. But if this gave you a headache, I think it's based off Philip K. Dick.
Yeah, it is.
And it's in one. There's like a suit that they use in it that changes identities constantly, but not the whole suit. Its pieces are flickering different identities.
Oh no!
And it's so cool. But like if this gave you a headache, that would give you a headache too.
It was just odd, because I think I was like trying to ground it in my head.
Right.
I think, because it's such a blend of realistic and animated that like I think I couldn't quite place it.
You having some uncanny valley problems?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like you do.
I
love the look though, because they can convincingly mix in anything they want into this world, and it all feels natural because it's already weird to begin with. And I don't, they probably did this few computers. I know
I'm sure,
Waking
yeah.
Life, I think they drew over the actual film, and I think they gave that up pretty quickly when they realized it sucks to do.
Yeah, it's a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah, but I'm curious about this one. This one looks... Like, you either watch one episode and be like, I can't handle any of this. Or it's like, I can't tell if it's going to be, like, how does this last for seasons? It must be like a mini series?
A lot of anthology, maybe?
Yeah, that's a lot of these new series that come out on, like, these prestige dramas that come out on streaming. That's my immediate question with, like, 90% of them is, like, I don't see how you sustain this beyond one season.
Well, that was like when I heard that Russian Doll is coming back, and I was like, why? And then I went, oh, good, it's an anthology. I was like, because I don't want to, like, I like the idea of expressing this concept in other places with different people or different characters, but, like, please don't fuck with this because it's so beautiful.
Right. Unless they have a plan for it. That was the Good Place is another one where it's like.
Good Place
I
is
feel
great.
Like, oh, it's great.
They keep changing what the show is each season.
But it did definitely felt like they were. It's like, how are they going to keep this up? And their answer was like, we're not. Like,
yeah, we're going to try something different every time.
Yeah,
they did it in a way that works, unlike Westworld.
Unlike Westworld.
Womp womp.
Womp womp.
Sad cowboy trumpet.
Womp 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 womp.
Westworld is like it's the. I don't know if this works. It's like the James Marsden of TV shows. Where it's like he starts, you get a little momentum, and then they're like, sorry, kid, you're going to get murdered in X-Men 3. poor James Marsden.
Ball. But he got to be in Hairspray.
Did he?
Yeah.
And Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, he got that.
And The Notebook.
Was
right?
He in The Notebook?
He is in The Notebook.
He's the handsome guy, her fiance.
He's the role he always plays in The Notebook.
Yeah, the guy who just had to take it up the ass when she was like, yeah, I fucked my ex-boyfriend and I don't want to marry you anymore. And he's like, okay.
Okay, I'm James Marsden.
Bye.
All right, the next trailer is A Million Little Pieces.
Why did they make it into a movie? Why?
It's Sam Taylor Johnson is the director, so she's just directing her husband in this movie.
I remember finding out that they were, because I saw Nowhere Boy, and then they started dating shortly after that, and he was like 18. He was like 18 or 19 when they started dating. There's a 23-year age difference between, she's 23 years older, which part of me is like, get a girl, but the other part of me is like, what is that dynamic? Like,
yeah.
They have 4 children.
Wow. Well, I guess it's working for him.
I mean, who am I to judge?
Right, exactly. But, like, this movie has been out for, like, over a year. Like, this was playing at festivals last year.
I mean, I know why it's taken them this long.
Right, because, like, the thing that bugs me the most, if you guys aren't familiar, A Million Little Pieces was a memoir by this guy, James Frey, that was advertised and promoted as being based on his actual life. Like, it was a nonfiction memoir.
Oprah was on the board. On board.
Yep.
She's part of the book club.
And then it turned out that it was just fiction. He made it all up. It was a story.
Yep.
He
claimed certain broad strokes were true. And then, like, I know his publisher defended him for a while. And then they suddenly didn't. Because they were like, we looked into it, and we probably should have done this before we published it.
I just love from the controversial book. And it
right!
was like, oh my fucking God. It's controversial because it's lies. Like,
right. It's controversial because he said it was real and it fucking wasn't.
Right. Like, that was hilarious. Because they clearly
waited. That infuriated me when I saw it.
They were waiting long enough to like slip this out and hope no one would notice.
Yeah, right. That's the thing, is it's like, it seems so like, aren't we done with that? Like, aren't we past that whole, didn't we just decide to not engage with that piece of media anymore?
Right.
And then to like dig it fucking out of the trash heap of like garbage.
Right. That's the weird. It was like someone owned the rights and they're like, God, I guess we got to do something.
Somebody
with this.
Definitely. They bought those rights when that book was on Oprah. Like, somebody bought those film rights.
Oh, yeah. Someone was watching Oprah, picked up a phone, and was
like,
give me the rights.
What studio?
I don't know, man.
Let me see.
Okay. See, on one hand, and this doesn't apply to this at all, because this is a person who lied to make money. But and on one hand, all movies based off true stories are bullshit in general.
Right.
So it's like, part of my brain is like, yeah, I mean, it's as bullshit as any other movie based on true stories, but it's also putting money in the pocket of someone who
lied
to everybody about this very like somewhat like sensitive and personal thing, and it's like this guy can get fucked.
Momentum Pictures.
Okay.
Because I'm like, okay, was it a thing where there was like a merge, like there was a merger and they had to like get it out, or they needed to like wanted to be done with it? Like, I was trying to think like what the motivation of still continuing to push this film would be for a studio.
I'm assuming this will be quietly put on streaming or something.
Yeah, its release date, it has a very limited release date in December. Like,
yeah.
And they're not mentioning James Frey's name in this promotional material.
Yeah, Jesus. They're probably hoping to break even at this point.
Wow.
I mean, who's going to watch this?
I don't fucking know.
Why do you choose to make this?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Just seemed like a waste of money. Well, I wonder how long ago it was filmed.
I'm not sure, because it initially premiered in 2018, so it must have been 2017, maybe even 2016.
Yeah, it got debunked like 10 years ago. So I mean,
time. It's been 2006, I think, like mid-aughts.
They really must think people are just forgotten it. Or don't care.
Might have.
And they could be right. You know, if you're like 20 something right now,
you don't know who James Frey is, probably.
Yeah.
But you like Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah.
And Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, all the kids.
Who
love Billy Bob.
All the kids come out for Billy Bob.
Yeah.
Billy Bob.
What a weird thing to happen.
Yeah. Unnecessary. It feels unnecessary.
Yeah. I think it's probably the last time we'll discuss it on this show, because I don't think there'll be many Million Little Pieces updates unless some controversy happens about, you know, the fact that it shouldn't exist.
Right.
Our last trailer is Carnival Row, which has been, I think it's been sitting around for a while with Orlando Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
With
Cara Delevingne.
Yeah.
And there was a Jared Harris hiding in there.
Was there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll watch it.
Yeah.
I'll watch anything with Jared Harris.
I couldn't wait to point that out to you. I was like, yeah. Oh, I bet Dave didn't notice Jared Harris.
Yeah, I wrote a little rant in our doc. It's mainly because we covered his Dark Materials before, which is based off of what's it called? The Golden Compass?
Yeah.
And then there's one called Abigail that's coming out, which Abigail looks okay.
Yeah, the plot of that at least is something different and new.
But they're all tinty gray blue and filled with steampunk and fantasy.
Blamps!
Yeah.
So many blamps!
Blamps.
2019 is the year of the comeback, the blimp comeback.
Yeah.
It really is odd because it's like the trailers for all three of those are structured the exact same way. It's like Overdark. An old man who's like a famous actor that probably did Shakespeare says, like, you were made for this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Blomp, and then blimp, and then someone has wings, and then there's like, then it looks like World War II London, but there's like also a ram.
Right.
Man.
Right.
There's a man with ram horns. Right.
Dresden, but here's a centaur.
Yeah.
Right. And I think like in the video game world, I think steampunk is, people are getting sick of it finally too. Or maybe just I am.
I don't know.
But it feels played out. And I think, I this is my theory on steampunk, is like Lord of the Rings type fantasy, like D&D, there's this level of like, we understand like medieval times, mm-hmm. and we understand like the fantasy structure. We can put them together easily in our head. I don't think we can as much for
steampunk.
There's
not a lot of logic. It's like too disparate. Have you ever seen Steampunked? The show.
No.
One season reality show. Oh, it's steampunk connoisseurs, and they have to like complete challenges to make this like steampunked mansion where they have their assignment is a different room, and there are each like people who make costumes and it's so ridiculous.
That
it's
sounds
just, like,
kind of awesome.
It's and it's only one season, and it's the judging is totally convoluted. It's one of those reality shows where someone was just like, steampunked, make it a show. And they're like, fucking all right.
Sure. Somebody came up with that portmanteau and they're like, make this into something.
It's a lot of like the majority of the contestants are like early 40s dudes who are like, I am the defining expert on steampunked. And it's like, that's not accurate. And it's like, this is made up, you fuck. Like, I don't know what. Yeah. If you...
are you referencing?
It is very much like everybody's very sure of their taste
and
their opinions. I highly suggest you watch it. I think you can find it on YouTube at this point. It was on Netflix for a little bit.
Now it's just free. It's just free on YouTube at this point.
No, I think it's just ripped. Like, I think they might have pulled it. But
and like no one's yeah. No
but
one's
I think it might still be on Netflix. I would suggest you. I think it's steampunk. I don't think it's like...
It should be steampunk-themed pranks, like the show Punk'd.
Steampunked!
You've been steampunked!
It's just Justin Timberlake crying on a penny farthing.
Well, I want to see that, yeah, no matter what. I don't have anything against people who are into steampunk. I just think that...
Don't make excuses for them,
well,
David.
No, I just don't think it's... Everything doesn't work until it does. Yeah. Like, people, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, there was never good pirates movies, and then suddenly there were.
And then made 8 million of them.
Yeah, I don't think any of these movies is it. I personally believe the best visual representation of steampunk, not story, but is Wild Wild
yes!
West.
Sorry, I yelled right into the microphone.
No, that's
I
fine.
I love Wild Wild West so much, David.
Oh, no.
We gotta watch it. We gotta watch it together.
Sure, yeah.
He was on a spider wheelchair.
Yes.
He totally was.
The special effects in that look good still.
Yeah.
And if you pause the film at the right moment, you see Will Smith's balls.
You do.
When he falls out of the water tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And stands
up. Yeah, there's
up,
a shot. You can see the sack.
Nuts right there.
Wow.
It's full taint.
Yeah.
They didn't make that movie with DVDs in mind.
No. But I think that works because it's like cowboy stuff.
Yeah.
And like that's an era that we sort of can see that era mixing with steampunk well. Mm-hmm. But like then when you add like fairies and stuff, it's like I don't know.
It's a hat on a hat.
Yeah.
It's a stack of hats in a Dr. Seuss book. Yeah, it's like a character's wearing 18 hats.
It's a clockwork hat on top of a clockwork hat.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of, and I don't know which of the three trailers this is in. There was a shot of like a fairy and someone just shoots it out of the sky.
I think that was
Abigail.
I think it was Carnival Row. Oh, Carnival Row? Maybe not. I don't know.
It was supposed to be tragic and I just laughed out loud because it was like it was like something so magical and someone just blasts it out of the sky and it just drops like a rock.
You know what's weird though is like I'm a person who can get behind pretty much anything. Like, I can enjoy stuff even if it's not my cup of tea. But, sure. Like, watching the trailer for Carnival Row, I was just like, well, I like him.
Yeah.
And I like her. And I'm happy they're both working.
Yeah.
And I, like, watched that and I was just like, I don't care. Like, this in no way, like, hits any sort of emotional string for me. Like,
right.
Nothing about their interactions.
Right.
Like, or the stakes that they set up in the trailer makes me go, like, oh, like, I feel something. It's really
right.
Just like, oh,
it's a very
visuals.
It seems to be a very generic story.
Yeah, it's not charismatic, and they don't really tell you what's going on or why the characters. Because if you want me to watch a TV show with these people, you want me to watch like every week these people, you have to make me like them, right? Or like understand why I'm watching,
or like care.
Yeah,
well, because
care about them.
Originally, it's like Fern Gully, right? Like, he goes to her place, and they mm-hmm. fuck, and then he leaves her place, and then her place gets decimated.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are a bunch of refugees coming to hit from her land, coming to England, right?
Wow. In this plot?
Yeah, I was trying to piece it together.
Okay. Yeah, I think my eyes glossed over watching this because it was like so much noise and like everybody was so serious and it was everything
so many
was
blimps.
The same color. Yeah, the fucking blimps.
Them blimps. Them
blamps.
Zeppelins.
Fucking Zeppelins. All I think is Nazis when I see Zeppelins too. So like my head is going to Nazis and I'm like, so where are the Nazis in all of this? Like it just, I don't know. It's.
Maybe they're trying to like reclaim blimps
right
for non-Nazis.
Remember Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow?
Boy do I.
Yeah,
I do.
Paltrow was in that, right?
She sure was.
I do a bit where I talk about I took a girlfriend to see Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow and she broke up with me the next day and I have not seen her since.
Oh
boy.
Oh man, Sky Captain!
Sky Captain! That movie, again, they were going for something that just nobody wanted.
No, nobody asked for
that.
Yeah.
Meow.
Should we get into just meow?
Well, he said yeah, but it sounded like a car going by. And then I went, meow.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get the stories.
Let's get the stories. Disney is disappointed by Fox's box office numbers and has canceled most of their film development. And is now thinking about releasing their films to Disney Plus directly.
That's what they were always going to do.
Yeah.
They were never not going to do this.
I think they looked at Fox's numbers before they bought them.
Yeah.
And then they're pretending to be surprised by the numbers now that they've bought them. So that they can just dismantle them and take their properties away from them.
As if it wasn't hundreds of people's jobs to look at all the documents to know what state. You don't fucking... merge you haven't done that.
You don't do like a $1 billion merger without
not surprised.
This is a months long process where you're poring over financial records and stuff. So like they knew every single thing when they bought this. And they're blaming it on one $160 million quarter loss. It's like Disney has had so many of those.
Yeah.
They also are specifically targeting like Dark Phoenix, which I'm pretty sure they just like creamed at the box office. And it feels like It feels like inviting someone to be like on your sports
team.
They
beat their own fucking movie.
Yeah. And then shoving them over and being like, why could you can't be on my team. You can't walk. Like, it's that where like, it's just like, they're just, it's mean.
It's like, well, did X-Men Dark Phoenix didn't do well at the box office? Like, yeah, because it was, what beat it at the box office? Fucking Marvel movies.
Yeah. My thing was in reading the Variety article, I think, was, okay, good. Fox Searchlight is fine. They're not touching Fox Searchlight.
That's
because
good.
For me, it's like, this is all these big budget fucking things that are just kind of being slapdash together, whereas they're still making smaller, like they're still going to let the team make the smaller films
right.
On their own and not, for now. So right. I was like, okay, well, at least if like the original new stories, different things is still going on as planned, like wiping a whole development slate is so fucked, like from a creator point of view, like right. I can't imagine what it's like to be one of those people who has something in development that is like literally about to go from, you know, pre-production into production, and then it's like,
it's pretty devastating.
We had Jeff on a few weeks ago when the merger layoffs were first being announced, and he's friends with a guy who created this comic book Mouse Guard. Uh-huh. And Mouse Guard was a big production at Fox. It was going to be this huge animated film. And there's like, they were well into production and they fucking killed it.
Yeah.
Jesus. So. I mean, I applied for a job at Disney in a totally different department. And I hadn't heard back from them in like a month. And then my friend who works there, I was like, hey, do you know what's going on? And she was like, oh, there's a hiring freeze. And I was like, cool, rad, great, cool, good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. Yeah.
It's got to be just the worst place to be right now.
I've applied for a few jobs at Disney.
Yeah. I get the abstract of this. Like, a lot of jobs are at stake, and it's fucked up that they do this. But I get watching, like, X-Men Apocalypse and being like, we need to make some changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I get that. I get watching the Planet of the Apes films and being like, I don't know about this.
Well, that's one of the ones they specifically said they were going to do is another Planet of the Apes movie.
That one is, those are successful. And I will say, the last two Planet of the Apes I thought were pretty good. But
I just don't care. Like, I still haven't seen them.
The first one is bad, so bad that it doesn't deserve people to watch the sequels, I think. But I did it anyway,
and then we're pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and they would be, well, because they like clearly after the first one they were like, we need to make some changes, and they did
course correct.
Yeah, but I mean, I get there's a lot of dumb decisions made by studios, and I'm sure Fox has made a bunch, but yeah, this is just callous and gross.
It's the reason why we shouldn't just allow Disney to own everything.
Yeah, it's a bad idea.
It's bad. It's bad when one company controls 90% of entertainment.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty insane.
What they do on a similar subject, the next story, is they'll go off and try to revive Home Alone.
Oh, yeah, they specifically dug deep into Fox's old archives for stuff they could remake.
Right. And Night of the Museum. I'm not sure. For two very different reasons, I'm not sure why they selected those two movies.
Yeah. Well, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, too, because like, that was pretty recent, and I feel like they did well. You know, and they did a couple of them, I think. Like, why are we rebooting this?
What is happening?
Like Home Alone, I get, but yeah, you're right. Like, the last Diary of a Wimpy Kid was, like, 3 or 4 years ago, and Night at the Museum was, like, less than a decade.
Right. I don't think Home Alone's going to work, because I think Home Alone was a movie for a very specific time that was very good. And like, you know, like people have pointed out, like cell phones and the internet kind of make Home Alone not work. It feels like doing a remake of Red Dawn, where it's like everybody
the context of this is not.
I know.
Right.
Well, it's like the same like nostalgia. And I think they're underestimating how much new audiences will care about the story redone without, because like part of it is like the charisma of the actors, and just it was lightning in a bottle kind of Home Alone, I think.
Right. Yeah, it was a lot of people coming to like, yeah, John Hughes and Chris Columbus and Macaulay Culkin and Catherine O'Hara and John Candy is in the movie, so it's like it's sort of the same kind of thing with all these Ghostbusters sequels and reboots they're doing, where it's like no, we're not, like, people didn't love the Ghostbusters universe or like the Home Alone universe or story. They liked the people involved with that project.
Yeah, it wasn't the premise that was so precious to us.
Right. It was the execution.
The
preshmas.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nailed it.
Solid. Now in the museum, I just don't know why they would ever do that again. Maybe just because, I don't know, man.
Well, because it's like, what else is there at the museum? Like, I feel like they've pretty much burned through all the things that are at the museum, unless they go to like a science museum.
That would be cool.
And then
like lightning comes alive or something.
And then there's like ducklings.
Ducklings?
I know
there
are ducks at the science museum in LA.
Okay. I only know the Boston Science Museum, which had like marble runs and like all those electricity.
Yeah, all those marbles coming alive.
Yeah, all the marbles running around and shit.
A sentient marble. Something. What am I?
It would be easy to explain to a marble what it is. It's just like you're like a ball we made because we wanted to
glass.
Roll you.
We used to play games with you.
Yeah, you're kind of
now
fun.
Now we don't know what to do with you.
Yeah.
You hurt when you're thrown at someone.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's pretty much all you need to know.
So Monica Lewinsky is producing the next American Crime Story.
Fuck yes.
Impeachment.
She's being played by Beanie Feldstein.
Which is such good casting.
Yep.
This is great. Yeah, this is one of those weird things where, like, if Monica Lewinsky's name wasn't attached to it, I'd be like, I don't know. The moment her name is attached to it, I'm like, oh, I can't fucking wait.
I mean, if you watched The People versus O.J. Simpson, or even the assassination of Gianni Versace, like, the American Crime Stories have been pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah. And, like, pretty true to what actually happened.
I just love the fact that Ryan Murphy was like, anybody telling your story without you involved is garbage.
Right.
And he was like, I really think that it's an opportunity to, like, say the truth, you know, and like, and I want you to make all the money from it. That's what I love is like, I want you as an EP because I want you to be able to have some sort of like reparation for literally ruining your early 20s and 30s. Like,
I like the precedent in this sense because one of the true crime is fascinating, and we all love it, but it does always have that exploitative feel where it's like, well, what about the people who were really involved?
Yeah. Gleefully talking about murders of actual humans who are
that's a little
fucking
much.
Dead now. Yeah.
And so when it's stuff like this where it's just like, we're going to actually have the people involved have their say. And obviously not every true crime can do that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of true crime works sometimes. I just watched Who Killed Garrett Phillips, which was a pretty interesting one because it's, again, it's very closely involved with everybody and like the families involved and everything like that. So it doesn't feel that gross. But yeah, just handling something like this in this specific way is just, I don't know, it makes me very happy. And yeah, I agree that the OJ one was very well done.
Yeah, and Sarah Paulson took Marcia Clark to the Emmys, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah,
the Golden Globes.
She was her date. They were very sweet and cute together.
And that definitely makes the way they handled Marcia Clark in that, like, they clearly are trying to show like the people who got fucked over.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chris Darden, man.
Right.
Oh gosh, I'm blanking on his name. The actor that played him.
Wait, played who?
That played Christopher Darden on The People vs. O.J. Simpson. Man, he's showing up in everything now. He's really good. What the hell is his name?
What else is he in?
I think he's on This Is Us. He was in The Predator.
Ooh.
Let's see. I'm Googling it.
Katie's Googling it.
I am blanking on his name.
Oh, man. Come on. I want to get to the next one so bad.
Sorry.
It's related to, like, family and...
Oh yeah, fucking Sterling K. Brown.
There you go, Sterling K. Brown.
I love him a lot.
Yeah, he's great.
He's a good, nice man.
Good for him.
Yeah.
So Robert Shaw's son is starring in a play.
Yep.
Specifically about the making of Jaws, when the actors had to sit around and wait for the shark to be fixed.
What's it called? The Shark's Broken.
The Shark is Broken. I mean.
Yep.
Such a good title.
So there was a fan-made documentary called The Shark is Working. So I think it's a play on that.
Yeah. I wish I could see this. It's not, I don't think it's in this country. He does, he did an ad for it, and you can look it up, and he just does an impression of his father.
So he's playing his father in the show.
Yeah, that's he must, awesome. Right?
Yeah,
he doesn't have to watch the video of him?
No, I didn't.
Oh my god, he looks and sounds exactly like his father.
Oh, that's
in,
perfect.
Like, in the, he looks at the camera and he goes, y'all know me. And he's got, like, the hat and the and it was just like, oh shit, this man is channeling Robert Shaw right now. So he better be playing his father. What's his name? Ian Shaw, I think.
Sounds about right.
So yeah.
Sounds like an Irish name. I think he was Irish.
It's pretty Irish, I think. I don't know. I've only seen Robert Shaw in two things, and it was this and The Sting.
He's a doll's eyes chief.
Like, and he's great in The Sting, too.
Size, like a doll's eyes.
Did a doll's eyes chief. Did it else.
Get them blimps.
Sorry. Well, yeah, because he and Richard Dreyfuss fucking hated each other.
Yeah, they did.
Like, a lot.
Oh, yep. It's inspired by the private diaries of Robert Shaw. I would give anything to read his diaries.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Edinburgh?
Yeah, Edinburgh. It's in Scotland.
Scotland. Mm-hmm. Oh, it says it under there. Yeah, Scotland. Okay, so that's where you got to see it. Everybody go to Scotland. Check
yeah!
it out.
Yeah!
Everybody fucking go to Scotland.
Get we got one blimp. More news story.
I'm very excited about Scotland. The next
The thing. Next one?
What's the next one?
Andy Serkis is directing Venom 2.
No, I'm excited for the one that's after that.
Oh, okay. I
also,
was like, oh,
also,
wow.
It's being co-written by Tom Hardy. He's helping with the script.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
fucking
watch
love
this.
That crazy-ass movie.
Yeah.
Venom.
I can only hope they go crazier, because
I have to. Did you see Woody Harrelson's going to be the bad guy? Did you see his wig at the end of that movie?
Yeah.
My
here's
God.
Here's the comparison I want to be able to make, and I can't make obviously yet. Mm. Is Venom 1 is Ghost Rider. I want Venom 2 to be Ghost Rider, the Spirit of Vengeance. Yeah, I want it to then be like, okay, we kind of touched on it, but we can go so much crazier.
Yeah,
so let's do it.
This would be insane.
Yeah, let's have them piss fire, or whatever the equivalent for Venom is.
I don't know,
pissing,
goo, black
goo.
Goo.
Goo pissing, like the mask.
Yeah! Mm-hmm. I watched the first Mask recently again, and it's still very delightful.
Yeah.
I watched it like 2 or 3 years ago, I think.
Cameron Diaz is like so fucking gorgeous. Like, I can't even.
Yeah, it's a problem,
movie, right?
It's a problem.
Yeah, watching that movie, I'm like, God damn it.
Why are you so beautiful?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
So
also, Richard Jenny's in it. That's great, too.
Sure is, yep.
And the guy from Animal House that plays Boone.
Oh, Peter Reichardt.
Yeah, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley Ipkiss.
And Peter Green as Dorian Tyrell.
Did you see that video of him breaking up the fight in New York?
Peter Green?
No.
So there were two women. It was on the corner in New York. There are two women, one who is obviously mentally unwell, and then another woman, and the one woman who is mentally unwell, like, reached, you know, had just been yelling, but then she like grabbed this woman, and so they're like having a fight, and Peter Green literally just pulls up on a bicycle. He like pulls them apart and he's like, not fucking today, okay?
Oh my God.
Not here. Are you good? Can we stop this? And then just gets on his bike and fucking rides away.
Was this recently?
Yeah, hold on.
Is that, like, I want it to be then silence and someone like, was that Peter
Was that
Green?
Peter
I feel like
Green?
That's exactly what
That's
happened.
Like when Tom Hardy chased down the moped thief. I've never felt more bad for a thief of like they're driving away and they must have turned around and been like, is that fucking Tom Hardy chasing me?
Yeah, actor Peter Green breaks up Street Fight. It was a month ago.
Wow.
I'll send this. I'm going to send the TMZ link to you, Tom.
Please do. Oh,
man,
shit.
That's terrific.
Can you imagine if you were in the middle of a fight and then somebody breaks you up and you're like, Peter Green?
But it was nice because it's like, he wasn't like aggro. He was just like, guys, fucking stop. He was just like a nice reset on whatever was happening.
Right.
Just comes out of nowhere, breaks up the fight, makes sure they're separated, and then gets on his bike and fucking rides away.
I wonder where
Trejo
he was going.
Moment.
I don't know.
Where was
probably
he headed?
Just
he's probably going to go do Peter Green stuff.
Okay, wait, I'm sending it to you.
Danny Trejo just pulled a kid from a car. He's a hero.
I saw that.
And he was pulling a Werner Herzog. Didn't Werner Herzog pull Joaquin Phoenix out of his car? Is that the story?
Yes.
Which is another one where it's like, imagine being like
there
in an accident and being pulled out of the car and being like, oh, I must have hit my head because this guy is Werner Herzog for some reason.
He appeared out of nowhere. And then after Joaquin got treated, he wanted to thank Werner Herzog, but he was nowhere to be found.
Really?
So he disappeared back into the ether.
Okay, I'm not entirely sure. Has Werner confirmed that this happened?
I think maybe.
Because maybe he did just hit his head.
My favorite still is that interview where Werner Herzog is being interviewed and then he's shot. And then he keeps going.
Yeah.
What a fucking weirdo. God bless him. Oh,
I don't think he belongs in our dimension.
No.
It's something where there's something wrong with the atmosphere.
He passed through
him.
A portal. Yeah. And is here, and he's like, well, I guess I am here.
Yeah, exactly. That's it for news stories, you guys.
This is the one coming up that I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
You guys want to hear about a movie that deserves more hype?
Dave, yeah. I would love
pew, pew,
to.
Pew.
Did you bring one?
Pew, 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 pew,
pew.
What luck?
Pew, pew.
Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
Holy shit, guys. This is called Mary. It is coming out in October of this year, just in time for Halloween, and it is Gary Oldman on a haunted boat.
Yeah! One time I saw Gary Oldman on La Brea, and he was so hot that I almost dropped my tea. That's a fun fact. He was in a heather gray t-shirt and some baggy jeans and a pair of Ray-Bans, and I went, that guy's hot, and then I went, that guy's Gary Oldman.
That dude's Gary Oldman.
Fun fact.
I like that you were like, that guy's hot. Oh, no, that guy's Gary Oldman.
Well, because he looks like a nice, like older gentleman.
Right.
And then I put two and two together as I got closer. But yeah, this movie looks very good.
It's
I'm into this.
It doesn't take place on a big boat. It takes place on, like, a yacht. And it feels like it's somewhat psychological, and it's, like, claustrophobic.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, it's the director, or the writer of The Shallows wrote it. Which is a very fun movie that's also about someone who's very trapped in a very kind of small area.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the director of a movie called Megan is Missing, Tom, which I know Tom has seen.
Yes.
I don't think many people have seen.
What is Megan is Missing?
It's a found footage movie that's horrifying.
Yeah.
In a very non-spooky way.
Ugh.
Yeah, in a way that I can't. In good conscience, recommend it to people.
No, I can't recommend anyone watch it. Just that it's the first half. It's found footage, and the first half of it, because it's all like teenage girl actors, so they're all kind of bad, and they're ad-libbing. It's just ad-libbing the whole movie. So like, it's like, what is even this movie? And then abruptly halfway through, it becomes the most disturbing film I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's basically about people kidnapping these teenage girls, and it just gets darker and darker and darker and darker. I cannot, like, it's an effective horror movie in that I watched it and felt horrified.
Right.
But it was like, this is too real and this is too fucking graphic.
The ending scene is an unbroken, probably 8-minute shot of one of the characters being buried alive in a plastic drum.
Yep.
No.
It's just the guy shoveling dirt into the hole while she's begging to be let out, and it goes on for about 8 minutes.
Yep.
How it ends.
So this is the person directing this movie.
Yeah.
Which makes me think, holy shit. Like, I'm so glad he's doing something about ghosts.
Yeah.
And not something.
Sea witch? Is she a sea witch?
I don't know.
Sea witch ghost?
We don't. It's about. Basically, it's like a family who goes out on a boat. And then they find out that, like, no one who's been in this boat has made it out alive or so. There's a part in the trailer which I think is funny where he has, like, all this historical papers. And he's like, everybody who's been on this boat is never seen again. And it's like, where did you get those papers?
I had that same thought. Yeah. Like, was it, like, in the boat?
Yeah, is the boat? Is it like
collecting?
How a serial killer keeps the news stories, the clippings? Like, the boat's been collecting them?
I just love when she's like, we have to turn back. And he's like, we're too far to turn back. And I'm like, that's not how oceans work.
Yeah.
Literally turn around and you will be closer than you were before you turned around.
What are they? Yeah, where are they if they can't?
It's a sailboat. It's not like we don't have enough fuel.
Right.
You know?
Like, we're going to run out of gas. I mean, they might run out of food, but like, there's fish.
Go
fishing, bro. Or maybe they run out of water too.
They're not in the worst situation.
No.
That you can be
at
sea.
Upscale sailboat.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody check out the trailer. It wasn't getting many views when I first looked at it. It's probably picking up a little bit. But everybody should be talking about this. Like, this should be on, like, this should be the top story on CNN, right?
Yeah,
it's Gary Oldman's haunted boat movie. It just,
yeah, absolutely.
It looks so exciting. And I can't wait to see, because just the combination of people behind this, plus the actors,
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be good, right? It's got to be good and probably really upsetting,
right? It's going to definitely be memorable, because I wouldn't necessarily call Megan Is Missing good, but it's like,
no,
it's one of those movies.
Yeah, you will
I
never
will,
forget that.
Yeah, I will literally never forget that film.
I'll say the directing isn't terrible. The acting is
right, because it's a bunch of teenagers ad-libbing, so it's
but
not
like,
you know. But this is Gary Oldman.
Yes,
there was a part in the trailer that made me go like, oh shit, where the little girl, like, her big sister's making fun of her and she just smashes a glass in her face, and I was like, oh no. Which I'm like always happy when something crosses that line. Like, I mean, that was all of Hereditary for me. It was
right.
Just like, oh, we're not gonna cross the we're gonna cross the line,
right?
Like, visually I'm gonna see a thing, they're not gonna allude to it, they're just gonna fucking do it.
You're gonna see it. Or in Hereditary, they're gonna allude to it for about 4 minutes and then just show it to you.
Show it.
Or it's just gonna be like, yeah, naked old man, oh no. Was not planning to see a naked old guy smiling in the dark today.
Oh man, we're in serious trouble. There's a naked old guy.
Yeah. That's never a good sign.
I want to watch it over again now that
Hereditary?
I have had some distance and I know what happens.
I watched it fairly recently.
Just like watch it in the middle of the day with all the lights on.
Well, here's the problem. And I think we've had this discussion before. Did you see it in theaters?
Yes.
When you saw it in theaters, I saw it twice in theaters and they were two different experiences, because there's a part that's so dark that depending on the theater, you couldn't see it, which is when she sees her mom in her art room.
Right.
Did you see it?
Yes.
Okay, so you saw the right version.
Well, so I saw it at the Vista, and so it was one big ass theater with a bunch of people who I have never felt, aside from eighth grade, I've never felt so connected with my fellow audience members, because we were all just like, ah! Like, people were just like, couldn't help the emitting noise. Like, people are just like, oh my fucking god, like. especially in the scene where she's just like floating kind of like in the room
where she's on the wall.
Yeah.
That when I think Tom, you were there when we saw it, it was like a 30 seconds of silence and someone just went, oh shit.
Well, yeah, because it's like, you can't see her
until
you can
right away.
See her, right? Yeah. And that was like, everybody's like, bah! So yeah, I was on a date at that, and we were both like holding on to each other across like the middle, like the armrest. And at the end of it, like, I was physically exhausted because I had been tense the whole movie. And then we both had like indents in our arms from like squeezing into the armrest. And then I made him come to my house and watch Hercules, the animated movie, with me, because I needed something to palate cleanse before I went to bed.
You got
to
take the edge off.
That's a pretty good palate cleanser for that.
I was like, I don't want to be forward, but can you come spend the night at my house? And he was like, honestly, if you hadn't suggested it, I was going to. He was like, I can't go home right now. I was like, that's fair. So I hope I have that experience with Mary. I think I might.
I want that. Yeah, I want that in this movie. Mm-mm. For sure. Everybody check out the trailer. This, again, CNN, if you're listening, and I know you are.
Needs to be right on, top stories.
Yep. And that's it.
That's it.
Everything
that's
we got.
Hypecast.
We did it, you guys. We did it.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah. Katie, thank you so much for doing the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm happy I finally got to participate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you do? You have anything you want to plug, or where can people find you, et cetera, et cetera?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at K.A. Willert. That's at K-A-W-I-L-L-E-R-T. Hell yeah.
Nice.
Mm. Mm. Dave, what do we have going on?
We got patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. It has exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. So you should check those out. We also have a TeePublic store, teepublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed. We have all sorts of shit, including a Fox Mulder is a Maniac poster that I'm looking at right now.
It's because a I bought beautiful, it myself. Gorgeous poster.
Made by Styling Hodge. Yeah.
We're having fucking t-shirt designs rolling in like daily almost.
Yeah,
it's
we
crazy.
Are. It's out of control.
So
we're
yeah,
out
check
of control.
That out. We are. Yeah. We cannot be controlled. We're gonna get a blimp next.
Blimp.
Fly the blimp to Edinburgh.
Best blink.
See some live theater.
See some Rob Shaw's kid.
And that rude boy.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. Say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at thecorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.